Jane.
Good morning, and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in steamy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly from the totally free Civic Media app. So make sure you download the app wherever you get your apps, and you can call and text directly from that. Pretty cool. Want to congratulate some of our Ascani Summer Statewide Text to Win winners. Mm-hmm. So we had Dell's prize packages. We had club level brewer seats.
Very nice seats.
And then we had two grand prizes. So well done to Rose from Waukesha and Andy from Madison. Both picked up a Dell's prize package. Those Brewers club level seats. Charles from Rubicon. That's in my old stomping ground real close to Hartford where I grew up. And Brody from Richland Center. And our grand prize winners who get to choose where they want to go for a staycation. Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. Congratulations. Hope you have a great time. Whatever you do, if you won the Dell's prize pack, if you won the Brewers tickets, if you won the staycation, take pictures.
Take pictures, please.
And then tag us.
Tag us.
Send Matt Nair on Air.
Email them to us. Pick the vacation with the pontoon boat. I'm just telling you.
We're very pro pontoon.
Yes.
Here.
Yes. Always.
I don't know if that anyone is anti pontoon.
I don't want to know them if they are. Who doesn't love a floating living room?
And thank you so much to Aaron Carreno who put that whole contest together and really did a great job. And thanks to all of you who entered. It was so very much fun. Dr. Laura Hanks will be here at 11:33 for public cervix announcement. Should you have a question for the doctor, you can always email it to janesays@civicmedia.us, and we will ask her about that. I think one of the things we're going to talk about today is heat and the effect of the effect of extreme heat like we're having on the human body, and it's bad.
Yeah, it's we know you want your tan, but take care of yourself.
Well, and I felt as I was driving in this morning, I saw some guys unloading pallets full of shingles.
Oh,
and it's like, oh my dudes,
gosh.
I feel so badly for you.
Do you think it ever gets so hot that they can't work? Like it's like a,
I don't know how they do that because it gets really hot on roofs.
Yeah. I mean, and the materials are heavy and it's just.
So be careful, whatever you do, even if you're a delivery guy or a mailman or anything that's working outside, please be careful and stay well hydrated. Dr. Laura Hanks joining us at 11:33. All right, we're going to debut a new segment that I'm calling Just Kill Me Now.
We did a lot of focus groups on this one. We sent it out to the people with a bunch of names. No, I'm just kidding. Jane just wrote it on the planner today, and I'm like,
this is what we're going to do. It just feels very me. I don't know why. But I saw this article yesterday, and it was like, oh, please.
Kill me now.
Just kill me now. A Kansas Republican unhappy at the idea of daycare assistance credits in Kansas and says it's bad policy because the state shouldn't indoctrinate children and put mothers to work. What?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at just the idea that daycare should get together and apologize to mothers. We're sorry, mothers. We forced you into the labor market.
Yes, we forced you into this. And again, we've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
If you are a stay-at-home mom and you want to be a stay-at-home mom, good for you.
Awesome.
That's great. That's fantastic. There are a lot of families who cannot do that.
No.
And it requires two incomes in many cases to run a household.
Also, there are women out there who are like, I want to work.
I love my children.
Exactly.
I love my children. I love being a mother. However, there is this other part of my life that I also find fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Mark Steffen.
You know she doesn't like you when she really enunciates your last name, like that football player who said the terrible things at the...
Butker?
Exactly.
Travis. Senator Mark Steffen says it's not the platform of the Republican Party to emphasize daycare and the separation of children from their parents. This could have just as easily been a child tax credit, and the decision yet was made to drive a further wedge into Kansas traditional families. There has to be a point where this stops. We know why they're doing this. It's the chance to get kids away from parents and indoctrinate them. If you run a daycare, 855-752-4842. Please tell me about all the indoctrination lessons you're doing with your charges, like teaching them the alphabet.
Yeah.
That's so subversive.
They love that word now. They just...
Indoctrinate?
Indoctrinate. They throw that word around, and they think they immediately win the argument when they say, well, I don't want my children indoctrinated. Then, fine, you homeschool them. You homeschool your children.
Great. You have that option.
I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I didn't feel like I was being indoctrinated with anything. I didn't feel like someone was pushing me down saying, you will read the Bible. No. And I went to a Catholic school. Public schools, if they have the funding, they're learning math and writing and social studies, and then they're going home.
We're talking about daycare kids.
Yeah. I mean...
It's an opportunity to put mothers to work. We know all that, and we know the result it has in our society. And yet here we are, our leadership driving a stake through the heart of Kansas traditional family.
We just got a text from Ben in Richland Center saying, are you reading a news report from the 1960s? Nope.
I wish that were true.
Fresh and off the presses there,
yeah,
Ben.
This came out yesterday.
If you read the article, he is not... He has lots of opinions on things.
He does.
Yeah. It says here he generated outrage last year after telling a Muslim woman who asked how he would serve the non-Christian constituents. He said, quote, happy to convert you. He denied it. And then the video came out of him saying it. So this isn't a guy who's all about freedom. He sounds like he's about indoctrination himself.
You think?
Doot-dee-doot-dee-doo. Welcome. You're listening to Kill Me.
Just kill me.
Oh, sorry.
Please just kill me.
Sorry.
Stefan, an anesthesiologist by trade, kicked up another controversy in 2022 for threatening that doctors in Kansas should face legal actions if they didn't treat COVID with ivermectin, the horse deworming medication. So he sounds very stable.
He sounds like a guy who really knows medicine. I really want to go to him when I need
right.
Oh, for,
yeah, and he's an anesthesiologist.
Yes.
That would be terrifying. John from Oshkosh texting in, I bet the guy is against paid parental leave, too. Oh, I think that's a fair bet, John. Yeah. And another texter from Madison listening on WMDX, are they worried they're going to teach kids about democracy? Yeah, we can't have that.
No, we'll teach them about our democracy. We'll teach them about our America. And our America is led by just a few people, God, Jesus, and Donald Trump. Anyone tells you differently, bah!
And guns. You left out guns.
Oh, don't forget. Yeah, guns. Everyone gets a gun.
As Cindy from Appleton pointed out last hour, it's great. Guns have more rights right now than women do, but that's whatever.
Yeah.
So, are we indoctrinating our children in daycare?
In a public setting, invite, not a private Christian or religious.
It's just daycare.
You know, and I hate using that word indoctrinate because like I said, you know, if you go to one of those things, you're going to be taught those lessons. You're not indoctrinated. It's a big, big difference. But yeah, in a public daycare, public school daycare, I don't know how you put it, but a non-religious.
And most daycares don't, as far as I'm aware, have a religious element.
No, they make sure that you're watched after and you get a nap and you get some orange slices. And
don't you teach how to share?
Teach how to share.
Some of the basics of how to get along in a civilized society.
Put their cute little hand in some paint, put it on a piece of paper, give them like they did
make
something.
A turkey.
Exactly.
Talking about Kansas Republican Mark Stefan, Senator Mark Stefan. Who says that daycare essentially is separating children from their parents so we can put them into indoctrination camps in daycare. Okay.
Any other great exaggerations? Oh, that's right. You already talked about ivermectin. Never mind. Sorry. You already covered that point.
And going back to ivermectin, when I was working at my previous employers, and I've said this many times, I did numerous interviews with poison control centers and veterinarians and other knowledgeable experts about things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, all of those things.
Bleach.
Bleach. Seriously, poison control centers were inundated with phone calls after the former president said, maybe we should just inject bleach. Nia, don't do that. Wasn't it even our very own Senator Ron Johnson who said gargling?
That's
was
right.
It Listerine? Was one of the miracle things?
I think it was gargling, yeah. Gargling. And don't forget, the warmth of the springtime, it would melt it away. Shining light on our bodies, it would take care of it. And if you want to see an amazing piece of film, watch the former president ramble onto a bunch of different sort of quote-unquote cures, and his doctors, who are the experts, advising him on the side with their heads in their hands saying, like, I can't believe I'm here for this.
Deborah Birx.
Yes.
I will never forget that whole speech that you just mentioned with injecting light into the body and things like that. She looked like if there were a hole in the ground, she would have jumped in it and poured dirt over herself.
That's not on her resume when she's looking for jobs, I'll tell you that much.
Right?
I think the thing for me, too, is that, like, just stop saying indoctrinate. Stop saying that. And stop saying you're for the children. You're not for the children. You're using them and mothers as a way of proposing superiority over the Democrats or the liberals or what, or women who want to go to work, or even worse, not have children.
Well, I'm a bad citizen, Greg.
Yeah, my wife's
I've
a
never
bad
had
citizen.
Children.
My wife's a bad citizen for not having children. I'm a worse person for not making my wife have a child, because I'm the man of the house, Jane. If she hears this right now, I'm going to stay at a hotel tonight.
Bridget, little heads up there.
No, she knows better. She knows I'm never serious about that.
But you make a very good and serious point. There is a group of lawmakers. There's a bunch of lawmakers who really want to pull women out of the workforce and make them stay at home.
Yeah.
They genuinely do. And this all ties into the getting rid of no-fault divorces and making it much harder for women to get out of bad marriages.
Tell you this much. All right, pull every single woman out of the workforce in America of childbearing age. Watch our economy collapse.
855-752-4842. Join us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Johnny Watermelon, our very own, going to be down at Riverside Rhythms in Waukesha. She'll be getting underway in just about 10 minutes right along the river downtown Waukesha. It's a really lovely event. Live music, and there's always a food truck. And then he will be busy this afternoon. About 3 o'clock, 3:30 this afternoon is the Pewaukee Farmers Market.
Johnny, if you're listening to this right now, stay cool and stay hydrated, please. Yeah. It's very warm outside.
It is toasty. And if you're going to be going to any of those events, the same applies to you. So please just be careful. We're doing a new segment I'm calling Please Just Kill Me Now. After Kansas Republican State Senator Mark Steffen came out against the idea of a daycare assistance credit because the whole goal is to separate children from their parents and indoctrinate children and force women into the workplace.
Daycare.
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 Daycare. Texter from Madison, Doug from Madison, listening on WMDX on the indoctrination of kids in daycare. Maybe the right-wingers are so upset because children are taught to share with others. It's just like communism.
I mean, you're not very off. There have been rumblings about, like, oh, that, you know, Mr. Rogers teaches kids their special Sesame Street teaches them about sharing and communism. Yeah,
a listener in here on WAUK. Yeah, and they're probably watching Sesame Street and pushing DEI and CRT.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I learned all my DEIs and my CRTs. I learned all those letters on Sesame Street.
You're indoctrinated.
Yeah, I know.
See what it did to you?
Well, I'm out of here, folks.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, you talked about the whole covenant marriage or the no-fault divorce they want to get rid of. Then I'd remind those guys that in merry old New England, the Puritans had civil ceremonies. They didn't believe in church weddings because they didn't find it in Scripture. And divorce was just a matter of a wife could file for divorce if a husband failed to perform. Apparently, from information that I have read, that it is just sad that these guys, you know, and the Puritans, of course, do not believe in celebrating Christmas. I mean, Christmas was actually illegal in New England until I think the very late 18th or very early 19th century. That people celebrated, but they just kind of ignored the law. But it was actually illegal. They didn't believe in Christmas either because it was they didn't find it in Scripture. I mean, these guys are just, and perhaps I misunderstood what I've read, but I kind of. Don't think I have, and these guys are just, we're supposed to have religious liberty in this country, and what galls me even more is that the Baptists, apparently when freedom of religion was, you know, no official religion was recognized in this country, they welcomed that because they were tired of paying tithes to the Church of England. I mean, that's what was prior to our revolution, you know, the people were required to pay tithes to the English Church. I mean, it is just sad that these guys are able to get away with this stuff. I mean, that...
It's amazing, Mark. And I think, too, and we've talked about this before, for people who align this way and want us to be a Christian nation and a Christian country, I still think it is important for you to remember that your denomination may not be the right flavor of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to keep that in mind.
Yeah,
I don't know that the far right Christian nationalists would welcome Catholics.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. They barely tolerate them, but they use them. They use them for their numbers. But yeah, if push comes to shove and this place goes to like a Mad Max symptom, yeah, you can bet for your life that those groups would fracture and form their own. I mean, it would be perilous. And the thing is, we're talking about freedom to practice your religion or freedom from religion. And remember, I don't care what you say, and you are wrong if you believe this. The founders did not build a religion into our system. They did not want a religion into our system. They built a wall around it to separate it. And that has slowly been picked apart.
Absolutely. And the push will continue even more under a second Trump administration and certainly with Project 2025.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's 900 pages long. I know it's a lot to ask people to check it out, but we are going to keep talking about this up until the election. If you have HBO and you can watch John Oliver last week tonight, he did that was his big segment on Sunday, digging into Project 2025 and the ramifications of this. And there is a big religious element in there.
Yeah. And I well, you know, we're talking about a lot of things that aren't the funniest or whatever, but doesn't matter. We talk about what we need to talk about. Remember, you can be an ardent Trump supporter, a MAGA fanatic. You have the red hat. You got the t-shirt. You got everything.
The flags.
You can be the biggest fan there be. You could have been there yesterday in Racine and back in Waukesha, but there could come a time when your loyalty isn't good enough.
Yes.
And you are going to be standing there saying, but I did all these things. I gave you the money. I talked to people. I waved the flag. I invoked your name with the Almighty Lord above because I believe that you were sent by him. And what are you talking about? I'm not good enough anymore. Well, that's how it works because that man turns on a dime and you might not be good enough. So just remember that. Remember that in a second administration.
Jim from Appleton texting and listening in Green Bay on WGBW in Green Bay. We're talking about this senator from Kansas, who's all upset about child care, and we shouldn't be putting kids into child care because the goal is to take them from their parents and indoctrinate them. Jim says, if these politicians were half serious about getting women back in the kitchen, they'd be working on a way for one income to support a household. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, just off the cuff, we could probably help that happen if CEOs took a slight pay cut.
Like a half a percent.
Right?
Across the board.
You can still make $27 million a year.
Yeah.
I think you'll be okay.
And also, if you had a system that supported a one-income family, the father could stay home too, and the woman could still go to work. I mean, I just all about if a woman wants to work, she gets to work. She gets to have a job, period. That's not for me to tell anybody. And I come from a history of working women. My mother worked. My wife works. My sister works. I don't have anyone. I know some stay-at-home moms. I know a lot of stay-at-home dads. All choices. All have the ability to do that, and they're lucky, and they recognize that. But I come from strong working women, and the idea that women would have to stay home because society says you're less than if you don't, or even worse, we're here to save you because the treacherous government's trying to keep you from your children.
Don't save me.
No one asks, sir.
No, I'm okay. Just kill me now. Just kill me now. Speaking of the former president, he was in our state yesterday, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this because I think it's been pretty well covered from other shows on the network. But as Pat Kreitlow mentioned when he was on yesterday, Donald Trump came to town and pretty much just said lies.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty much what every rally is now. And if you would like to see a rundown of those lies, Daniel Dale on CNN does a really, really good breakdown. And it's really quick. It takes about 2 minutes. But he just points out 30 lies that Donald Trump dropped yesterday when he was in Racine. And we'll make sure we put that in the show notes. And that'll be done about an hour after the show. Greg does a great job. Greg and Kelvin both take turns putting the show notes together and getting the podcasts up.
It's like he takes a big breath and then just belts out 30 lies.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in steamy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And if you were looking for some new, I don't know, attire for the summer, Greg Bach.
I'm always looking for fresh new drips, as they call it, Calvin. Is that what the kids say?
Drips?
I think so. I think I'm right. I think I'm right.
It's singular drip.
Oh, but sorry.
That is also an outdated term. That is.
Are
like,
you kidding me?
That's from when I was like 14, and I'm now gonna be 26 in October.
Oh, we're way behind.
So
man.
You guys don't get crunk either, huh? Okay, cool. Good to know.
Crunk? I don't even know. That's like before my time.
Well, yes, Jane, I could always use another t-shirt. Tell me more. How do I do that?
You can get a t-shirt. Go to civicmedia.us, and there is a button on the right-hand side on the upper right that says shop, and you can go to our shop, and you can pick up Civic Media t-shirts. We have WAUK t-shirts. We have hats as well. Help spread our Civic Media pride and pick up some merch.
There you go.
If you would like. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public cervix announcement. And now I feel like we have the setup for a new TV show, Hanks and Hanks, Doctors at Large. Dr. Laura Hanks is here along with her father, Dr. John Hanks. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Laura, your father has been a general surgeon for 30 years.
Yeah. 30 years, as long as I can remember, he's been going to the OR. He used to always, and I still say this to my residents now, any day in the OR beats working.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. John Hanks, I want to start with you, and thank you so much for joining us and sharing your daughter with us today.
I'm delighted. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. How things have changed, I would think, just considerably in the 30 years that you've been practicing. I'm curious. What is the best thing, do you think, that's happened over the past 30 years? And what do you think is the worst thing that's happened in the last 30 years?
I know what he's going to say.
Oh, I didn't realize I was going to have to answer some thinking questions here. that's a great question, because I think, you know, there's so many people that, you know, sort of are down on surgery and surgeons and doctors and medicine. But, you know, I think some of the great advances in the surgical world have been the miniaturization of of surgery itself that goes along with the increased optics, and where I'm going to is with laparoscopic and robotic surgery that really have allowed a whole new generation of young doctors, like my daughter, but so many others, that are now using robots where we used open surgery with different results, frankly, you know, and not so great results.
Right. And when he said open surgery, it means like a really big incision versus like the smaller incisions. And it was,
there's a massive difference now. And I would think that has to make such a difference in recovery time.
Absolutely. And you said it better than I. And so that's really, for me, it was fun to sort of embrace that. Now, when I was trained, it was all open surgery. And so I had to learn what I learned about laparoscopic surgery, during my career. And it was really interesting to see how the younger people really grasped it, whereas some of us older guys would go, oh, no.
Do I have to download an app for this? Don't make me download an app.
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm through learning. I just want to do.
Yeah.
But no, that's clearly, I think, one of the real major advances. But there's been so many.
How do you feel about electronic medical records, Dad?
I hate them. You know, that's one of those questions that my daughter comes home, and actually it was very interesting because everybody uses the Epic system, which is obviously started out there in Wisconsin in Verona by Judy Faulkner. And I happen to be, up in the administration when they embraced Epic here at the University of Virginia. And, you know, what they say you're going to get and what you're going to get are not always the same thing. But, you know, the time had well come to use the electronic medical record. But the question is nobody really figured out what was the optimal way to use it. You know, was it a billing machine? Was it a data collection machine? Was it both? Was it a predictor of outcomes? And you would hear all these different terms saying, oh, yeah, they can do that. Oh, yeah, it can do that. And then you buy the product, and the product is geared to kind of what you bought. If you bought a billing apparatus, you got a pretty good billing apparatus. But, you know, my friends in specialty practices, there was really nothing for them in there. You know, the ophthalmologist, for example, could barely use the clinical side of the Epic. I hope Judy Faulkner is not one of the listeners.
She's my mother.
The next thing is I'm retired. They can't hurt me.
Yeah.
But the medical record,
I'm not dead.
Yeah. The medical record, it's something that, you know, they're just going to have to refine. The time has come. It's not going away. I talked with Laura any number of ways and my colleagues back at UVA, and they're still struggling, and they put it in, you know, over 10 years ago and have been, you know, been optimizing it ever since. And it's a good system.
Just needs some tweaking. It needs some tweaking.
But it needs major tweaking.
Major tweaks. If you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here along with her father, Dr. John Hanks, who has been a general surgeon in Virginia for 30 plus years. Dr. John, I you've been practicing for 30 years. You must be amazed by the government now trying to insert itself into women's healthcare decisions. I'm curious about how you feel about that.
Well, you know, and I have followed your podcast since Laura's has come on. And, you know, the OBGYN, this just comes right down, right in their wheelhouse, you know, right in their area. In general surgery, the general surgery that I practiced, you know, was a fairly wide scope. I did a lot of breast cancer surgery, you know, during my career. But, you know, the effects on women and their diagnosis that, you know, really are being dealt with by the local politics really don't affect general surgery that much or as hard as they do in gynecology and reproductive medicine. So it's not so big an issue, although when you say, you know, what the government's doing in medicine is they're doing just more than, you know, messing with reproductive health. They're doing a lot with Medicare cuts across the board. They're doing a lot with physician payments and reimbursement of hospitals. So that's the kind of the broader scope.
But I think that you've told me stories about when people couldn't get access to like safe abortions, and you were the general surgeon that then had to, like, if a uterus was perforated or something like that, like that, you know, you've been that surgeon before that's been affected by people not having access to healthcare. So it affects everyone, but like you said, it's not like the big part of your practice, but it still affected you on some level.
That's a good point. I hate it when my daughter raises good points. Look like an old man, which I am. Well, that's a good point, because in rural surgery, if you're thinking about the rural surgeon, which is a vanishing breed now,
right?
A rural surgeon in the old days was actually would do in their practice orthopedics, simple orthopedics, and might do deliveries. We were just talking the other day about family practice and general surgeons. But if you look at rural surgeons' surgical records these days, or people that are going abroad and helping resource poor countries, I mean, they're doing some C-sections and they're doing GYN procedures. But if your question focused on sort of the political climate right now, that volume's not that large in general surgery. But it's still important to consider that when you're thinking about, okay, well, another part of this is how we deliver general surgery and medicine, you know, out in rural counties. And Wisconsin and Virginia are very similar in the amount of rural population that we have and that we serve.
Yeah, and this is an ongoing problem. And Dr. Laura, we've talked about this before, and in states that are severely restricting reproductive health care, I mean, OBGYNs are fleeing these states, which is going to have larger ramifications that it's going to take a number of years to play out, actually.
Absolutely.
And since we're talking about reproductive health care, the mifepristone case came down last week, Dr. Hanks.
Yeah.
This is a good thing, but this could still go away.
Right. So let's just do like a recap. So there's mifepristone, which is an anti-progesterone medication. So basically what it does for patients that are having a miscarriage, or if they would like to have a termination, it works against progesterone. Progesterone is the hormone pro-gestation. It supports a pregnancy. So this is going to unsupport a pregnancy, for, you know, to put it in layman's terms. And it is, we know that it's safe. We've known that for years. This case, while you want to get excited because SCOTUS said like, oh, we're not going to like take it off the market, we're basically status quo. Like, it didn't change anything really.
Right,
it just
said,
like, it's still there, but there's still so many states that say you can't have abortion, so you can't have access to this pill. But again, we use it for miscarriages, and we have very good data to show that it helps a miscarriage pass. And so that's, you know, again, in danger if this were to go to a point where, again, the Biden administration has said that if Trump comes back, he could appoint someone that'll take this medication away, this very safe medication that has lots of data for it, could take that away, not only from, again, patients that want terminations, but patients that are having a miscarriage. And it's just frustrating, Jane.
Oh, I agree with you, Dr. Hanks. And again, with this whole outline in Project 2025, from what I understand, the Trump administration could ban all kinds of things without ever having to go through Congress, because Project 2025 essentially gives all the power to the office of the presidency. So he could go to the FDA and say, I want you to declare these drugs as unsafe, and then just pull them off the market.
And it's just so fascinating because Trump still can't really figure out his opinions on contraception and abortion. Like he gets so fumbled and he just like doesn't, I mean, he's, you know, not a good speaker at baseline, but it is really like fascinating every time it gets brought up. He's just like, yeah, we're doing great things. We're doing great things. And we're going to do great things. And, what does that mean?
and everybody's really happy about this and it's working out beautifully. There is a case in Texas right now. Ryan Hamilton has been very open about the miscarriage that his wife suffered, almost died, almost bled out on their bathroom floor. There are horrifying examples coming in from all over the country, and this isn't a topic that's going to be going away. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the hot heat and how to stay alive in the heat. It's Hanks and Hanks, our new TV show. Dr. Hanks and Dr. Hanks.
This Friday on ABC.
We'll be right back with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, but I'm missing you so bad. Please. Oh, please. Come on home.
Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement with a special guest today. Dr. Laura Hanks is here with her father, Dr. John Hanks. And we're proposing a new TV show, Hanks and Hanks. And Andrew, one of our friends on the live stream, says, Hanks and Hanks, Civic Media TV. It could be next. You'll be our first show, you guys. You'll be the first show we put on Civic Media
TV.
We'll
make you stars. Yeah.
Hanks, Walton, Hanks.
All right. Let's talk about the extreme heat and what it does for the body and why people need to be so careful.
You guys must have known that, like, got the old man on. All he loves to talk about weather. This is like so in his wheelhouse.
But it's been dangerously hot here in Wisconsin and certainly across a large portion of the country. So what does extreme heat do to a human body?
Right. Well, I grew up in Virginia. Dad grew up in D.C. And we were just kind of talking on the break about how, in August here, just growing up, you just don't go outside. You have your, air conditioning and everyone just stays inside because it's so hot. And I was telling him about when I lived in Olympia, Washington, there was a heat wave like this. I don't know if you remember in 2021, where it was like 3 to 5 days of 100 degree heat. And in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of people don't have air conditioning.
Oh, man.
So my patients that had delivered babies, I was having them stay. I either had them stay in the hospital an extra day or go to a hotel room. I was like asking, because I never did this on rail. I'm like, do you have an air conditioning? And they're like, why? I've been in a hospital. What are you talking about? I was like, well, I just don't think you can take a newborn home in 100 degree heat. Like that's not, if you don't have an AC. So, but to your question, the important thing as with everything is hydration. So everyone should be carrying around their water bottles with them and making sure that you have extra water in your car if you're going somewhere and your car were to like stall out or something, so that you're able to to hydrate, because that's kind of going to be the biggest thing, is not hydrating, because you're sweating off water and whatnot. Staying cool, staying inside, sunscreen is really important. Always, if you have access to a pool and can cool off there. So those are all really important things. What else, Dad?
Well, you know, you have me around because you're interested in the history of surgery. And if you look back around this, the World War II, a lot of the studies about postoperative need for hydration were done in southern states like Louisiana, and was a big one. New Orleans was the big hospital, and Texas. And these were all done in hospitals with no air conditioning. And they were calculating what the water needs were after surgery. And then they had to completely recalculate all of those after the air conditioning came in.
Sure.
You know, because there was so much hydration that was lost. It was practically half of the needs for the hydration. Yeah. And that's just a thumbnail sketch of it. There's obviously a lot of other parts to it. But the hydration with the humidity is very profound, particularly in the older. So I think the idea of, you know, being as comfortable as possible and taking advantage of shelters that have air conditioning is extremely important. Not just for people that have had medical issues, but just the frail as they age.
And I think it's important to just remind folks, because we are in Wisconsin, I know there's water in beer. That doesn't actually count.
Oh, man.
As hydration. I just think it's important to mention these. Coffee also involves water. That also is not going to replace water.
Yeah. I'm with you, Greg.
Yeah. Just, Dr. Miller and Dr. Bush said that I could drink as much water as I want. It could be a beer if it's okay.
No, that's, I mean, yes, you can have a beer, but you want to supplement that with a bunch of water, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Not having a beer just makes the suffering worse.
He's retired.
I'm retired.
No. These are doctor's orders. These are doctor's opinions. I respect doctors. No. I believe in doctors. I'm going to write this down. Drink more doctor's orders. Yeah.
We have just a couple of minutes left. Real quickly, Dr. Laura, you shared this with me in a text. Dr. John, you survived a plane crash in 1984, and your brother was on the flight that crashed into the Hudson. Maybe you guys should stay away from planes.
We're lucky on planes. We survived.
I was going to say, you're looking at half empty right now, Jay. I'm looking at half full.
Yeah, it turns out there must be some genetic predisposition to. We haven't really studied that yet, but my brother gets a little more play because his hands were actually in the Sully movie, you know, as he's trying to open the door in the back and the door jams, flooding the back of the plane. That was my brother.
That's remarkable.
That's an amazing resume. Hello, I'm Dr. John Hanks. I am a practitioner of general surgery, and planes cannot kill me.
We'll work that into your TV show, exactly. Hanks and Hanks. We'll get that in development. Thank you both so very, very much for joining us. Dr. Laura Hanks will be back here next Wednesday for public cervix announcement. Dr. John Hanks, you're welcome to join us anytime you want from Virginia.
Oh, well, thank you. I follow your podcast along. It's very well done. I also want to compliment Calvin, because I think he's the guy that really makes everything.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Calvin, this is my chance to thank you, because I know that you do all the work.
Absolutely. And send all your complaints to Calvin at calvindoesn'tcare.com. All right. Dr. Hanks, public cervix announcement. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. And our engineers, without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all to everyone for calling and for texting and for listening. It means absolutely everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it and you stay cool. Stay close. News is next, followed by the one and only Todd Albaugh Show. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.